Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the fifth day of May, year 2021. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is A Time to Hate. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumri Ambit. We will take callers later on in the program. We do want to remind you that you need to be careful of your language, since we have a mixed audience, and also be courteous to any other callers that may be on the line. We are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody's muted when they join the call until such time as they indicate they wish to speak. Our website is www.pastordan.net. And Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. And we do recommend that you go to the Daily Mail page there and check it out from time to time. We try to put the latest information up there as to what's going on. There's a lot of information going on out there right now, and I've noticed a lot of people talking about an uprising, especially amongst the white Christians in America. It seems like some of them are actually starting to grow a backbone, believe it or not. And that was one of the reasons why I chose this, because the modern-day church world, which is completely apostate, is trying to tell everybody that, you know, what would Jesus say or what would Jesus do? And then they apply their definition, which is basically means sit on your ass and don't do anything, which is not what the scripture says. It was not how Yahshua the Christ walked this earth. It's not the way of our people in all of history. It's not the way of our people today. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that. And to do that, we're going to start off by reading a few scriptures. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 first. And we're going to start from the beginning at verse 1 here. For everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven. Now let that sink in. For everything there is a season, and a time for every purpose. Starting at verse 2, a time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Or basically to harvest. A time to kill and a time to heal. How about that? Modern day church world says there's never a time to kill. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Kind of reminds me of the scriptures where we are told that during certain periods of the month, ladies, it is not a time for embracing. All right? We have never really talked at great length about this, but during a woman's monthly cycle, the Bible says she's unclean. A lot of people put a very negative connotation to that. It just simply means it's a time for not embracing, such as Ecclesiastes is saying. Why is that? Well, I'm sure if you ask any honest woman, she'll tell you. She's really not in the mood, okay? And for all of us who are not in that condition, we're kind of like put off by it as well. So the Bible just simply says a time to refrain from embracing. Back in the old days, the American Plains Indians, who primarily were Caucasian, the remnants of our people, they still practiced it. And the women stayed in a teepee called the Wiki Up. And it was a teepee, especially for the ladies during that period. So they didn't have to be around their children. They didn't have to be around their husbands, the other people of the community, etc. They could have some privacy. And the community also could be separated from them in case they were having a bit of a rough spot to go with it. So it all makes sense. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep, a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silent and a time to speak. Verse 8. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Okay, a lot of the platform speakers, the non-mainstream preachers, etc., are finally getting it that we're in a war. It is a spiritual war. There's also a war not only against believers, but against us racially, whether we're believers or not. There is a war against the white race. I just sent out an article written by a PhD at the Occidental Observer. It was an excellent article, and it was making obvious assertions that everybody should be able to see at this time, that there is a effort to genocide the white race. At the very least, to diminish our numbers to where we're more controllable, and also to diminish the number of white men significantly. Okay, so when you've got academia now beginning to see it, you've got many platforms beginning to see it, and you even have some of the non-mainstream preachers actually speaking out about this stuff. In fact, there was a guy, a preacher, who just put out something that he believes that we should rise up against these socialists and their antics. So the men are starting to finally get it. The men are starting to shed their fear of being called a name, shed their fear of being outed by their ladies or denounced by the women in their life, etc. And that's what a lot of men have done for a long time. So again, according to verse 8, a time to love, but also a time to hate. Now, again, the modern-day church tells us that, you know, you should be Christ-like and he never hated, but that's not true. Okay? It's not true. How do we know it's not true? Right here in the book of Luke, which is in the New Testament of your Bibles, the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 27, but bring those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them here and kill them or slay them before me. These are the words of Messiah. Not only that, but Messiah had 12 disciples that accompanied him everywhere he went. They were armed. There's even a scripture where he said you should have a weapon. If you don't have a weapon, be willing to sell some of your clothes even if you have to. But you need a weapon. Okay, when you carry a sword, it isn't for decoration. When you carry a weapon, it's not for decoration. It's for use. And what use is that? It is to defend what we talked about last program, the widows and the orphans. Widows are ladies who do not have a man as coverture over them, or that man is out of town or not nearby. Then you are to protect them from predators, criminals, rapists, pedophiles, etc. Same thing with the orphans. What's an orphan mean? It means mom and dad aren't there. Either they have died, abandoned them, or they're out of town for some reason. Whatever. It's a child that does not have an authority over them, an adult authority over them. And that's where the men are supposed to step up to the plate and provide that protection. It's pretty logical if you think about it. But again, the modern day church world, which is pretty much full of liars and prostitutes behind the pulpit, spewing their poison, they'll tell you that Messiah was a little fairy. and never got angry, never did violence or anything else. And yet he formed a whip and went after the money changers in the temple. And we do know that much. And again, you remember, he walked this earth for 33 years. There's a whole lot of things that Messiah did when he was here that are not recorded, especially not recorded in the Gospels. Okay? So you don't know everything he said or did while he was upon this earth, but we're given an example. Like I said, when he drove the money changers out, he told his disciples to have a sword. Peter was ready to draw his sword and decapitate a guard when they came after him in the garden. He did not even hesitate. He drew that sword and went for the man's head. Okay? Yeshua did not punish or admonish him for having the sword or using the sword, except that Peter was interfering with what had to happen. That was the only reason. He was interfering with what prophecy said was going to happen and why Messiah had to be betrayed. But it wasn't an admonition against carrying a sword or using it, okay? So, again, the modern-day church world has turned many of our people, our racial kinsmen, against the scriptures and against belief in the God of the Bible because of nonsense like that. That we're not supposed to do what our DNA and our instincts tell us to do, which is to stand and fight, especially against criminality, against the innocent. Okay? That's why there's so much frustration today. Men, deep down inside, men know what to do. But society is against them. A lot of the women are against them. They've even turned some of the young people against them. They've turned the courts against them, etc., etc., etc. But deep down inside, every man knows he should reach for his sword. In the days of the Bible, it was a sword. Today, it would be an AR-15 or an AK-47 or a M1A rifle, okay, or a combat knife. Doesn't matter. A shotgun. Doesn't matter. It's an instrument to help you to defend the innocent. It's not an instrument to commit violence or to commit a crime, such as theft or murder. It's an instrument to be better at violence than the criminals are, just like the samurai code that we quoted last show. Okay? The samurai code of honor says that in order to stop bad men who are violent, you have to have good men who are better at violence than the bad men are. So rather than sitting on our asses, reading our Bibles, and praying that Yahweh solve the problem, what should be going on is the righteous standing up, the righteous men standing up, getting their weapons and getting together and saying, we're not going to put up with this bullshit anymore. Okay? There's been enough innocent bloodshed. There's been enough rape committed against men and women, against children. There's been enough pedophilia. There's been enough organ harvesting. There's been enough babies murdered within the mother's womb. How much more bloodshed do we need to be poured on our heads before we realize where we're at? I don't get it. We should have been up in arms a long time ago. Long time ago. And praise Yahweh that there are groups of men. I just watched a video where the gentleman that has guns and gadgets, which he nearly has 500,000 subscribers now, he does a really good job of putting Second Amendment issues up. He went over to meet Reed Hendricks at Valor Ridge, where he conducts training, tactical training and weapons training. And the two of them put out a short video, and it was really, really good. Two alpha males, two lions amongst the white race, who are doing a tremendous job in waking people up as to the assault against us and our God-given rights. Forget about the Constitution. Okay? Constitution doesn't have anything to do with your rights. You got to get over that. You got to stop talking like it does, because it doesn't. Just like you got to stop calling a baby a fetus. If you're calling a baby a fetus, you're part of the problem. It's a baby, created in the image of God and in the image of the two parents. It's a baby. It is not a goddamn fetus. So stop it. Just like calling COVID-19 a legitimate pandemic, you're a liar. If you're saying this serum putting into people's bodies is a good thing, you're a liar. You are a criminal. I can't wait till these criminals are treated the way they should be treated. They have killed people. That is murder. They have lied and cost people their lives. That is murder. It is fraud, which ended up in having a person lose their life. It becomes murder. It is no longer just fraud. It is murder. Then we go to Jeremiah 51. And again, so we can bounce them back and forth between the Old and New Testaments, and it's still the same book, talking about the same people, the Hebrew people. We're going to talk about that here when we get into Jeremiah 51. They use the word goy, and goy typically to the ancient Hebrews, who are our people, not Jews. Jews are not Hebrews, and Hebrews are not Jews. They're two completely separate people. So when they use the term goy, it's typically a non-Hebrew people. People not of our race, not of our kind. And I don't want to hear any more bullshit about there's only one race, humankind. That's bullshit. That's like saying all cattle are the same, so you can mix between cattle. Tell some rancher that's got a bull out in his pasture that's worth maybe $500,000 because of its purity. Okay, go tell him it doesn't matter. Go tell the guys with the thoroughbreds that race, and they make millions and millions of dollars on those thoroughbred horses. Go tell them it doesn't matter, that all horses are the same. They'd laugh you out of their stable, because that's the stupidest thing anybody ever said. Just because somebody has a head, two arms, and two legs doesn't mean they're all the same kind. Now, every man has a right to life, yep. As long as he's obeying the law, Yahweh's law, he has a right to life. He has a right to his family, property, to make a living, to better himself. Those are basic human rights that Yahweh says everybody has, as long as they behave themselves. But to say that we're all just part of mankind and so there's no racial difference, that's ignorance. That's all that is pure 100% ignorance. And let me check the notes here real quick. Yeah, Ralph says here, Yahweh put the seed of Adam here to take dominion in Genesis. If the righteous do not rule, then the wicked will. Exactly. That's why it also says that in the book, that the people rejoice when the righteous rule and they moan in despair when the wicked rule. You see, you got a choice. You can have the righteous or the wicked. Right now, we're seeing what the world looks like with the wicked being in control for well over 150 years, maybe as much as 300, 350 years. They've had total dominion. They took away our Constitution clear back in the early 1900s, probably even before that, but it became very apparent in 1913 with three acts of Congress, all of them unconstitutional. They took away your constitutional money, they formed the Federal Reserve and the IRS and Social Security, all back in 1913. They destroyed us because our founding fathers knew who controls the money controls the flow of society. And you're witnessing it right now. Who's pushing all this stupidity over this COVID pandemic, which is a fake and a fraud? Who's pushing it? Okay, corporations. Who runs the corporations? The banks. And who runs the banks? The Jews. Simple as that. Follow the money. And when you find out that the Talmud teaches all of this criminality is okay, then it makes it very obvious that Jews are just simply following their father, the devil, who is the author of the Talmud, because it's completely anti-Christ, anti-Yahweh. You can see their fingerprints over everything that's going on. It's really not very hard to figure out. That's why none of these programs, I don't listen to any of these channels advocating a solution if they don't talk about the Jewish question. If they don't address that, the paramount issue of the day, then they're not worth listening to. I don't care how great they sound. I really don't care. It's pie in the sky if you haven't identified Satan's kids and what they're up to. If you haven't addressed that issue and how you're going to vet them out of the solution process, your solution is going to fit right in with their stated objective, which is to control the opposition by leading it. Remember, that's how the Jews think. We will control the opposition by leading it. That's why you always find Jews at the top of both the left side and the right side of the argument. Every time. Every time. The ones that are pro-gun, the ones that are anti-gun. I always see a Jewish face there. It's always Jewish commentary. Right now in the middle of this COVID thing, most of the people that are talking on both sides of the issue, a lot of them are Jews. Is it that nobody but Jews knows what's going on? Why is it always Jews? Why don't we put our people up there? Our people know what's going on. Then we'll skip over here to Jeremiah 51. We'll start at verse 17. Every man has become brutish without knowledge, without truth. Okay? Without truth. Every goldsmith is disappointed by his image, meaning the image he creates. Okay? He's disappointed. For his molten image is falsehood, and there is no breath in him. In other words, they have created false gods. Because remember, back in those days, idols were typically made with gold, or they were cut out of things like stone or wood and covered in gold. Okay? Because if they didn't have enough gold, they would just plate it with gold. So gold was typically found over their false idols. So every man has become brutish, meaning evil, without truth or knowledge. And every idol maker, disappointed by his image, because it is full of falsehood and there is no life in it. Now, disappointed only in the sense that they get disappointed when you don't make it your idol. Television is full of idol makers. Government is full of idol makers. Organized religion makes all kinds of idols, like the Pope and the bishops and the cardinals. They're idols. They got all kinds of statuary in the cathedrals of the Roman Catholic Church. They're idols. We're not supposed to make idols. But today's people, they worship all kinds of false gods. Verse 18, they are vanity, a work of delusion. In the time of their visitation, they will perish. I'm praying we're at the time of their visitation. Obadiah 18 time. Again, there's a time to hate. Hate the unrighteous. Hate the liars. Hate the perverts. Hate those who would harm the innocent. Hate those who would harm little children. Hate those who promote war for the sake of war. They're all worthy of Luke 19, verse 27. They're all worthy of Obadiah, verse 18. Verse 19, the portion or the chosen of Jacob is not like these. Ooh, Jacob, that's us, okay? We're not like these. For he is of the former of all things. What's the former? The way we were made in the garden before the fall, before we started listening to these lying Nakash individuals. Okay, so Jacob is like this, for he is of the former things, including the tribe of his inheritance. Yahweh of armies is his name. You see, we walked with him in the garden, didn't we? That can be figurative or it could be literal. It doesn't really matter, does it? It means we had a close fellowship with our Creator. We didn't scoff him. We didn't mock him. We didn't turn our back on him. We didn't disobey him. We walked with him, honored him, worshipped him, and obeyed him. Verse 20, you are my battle axe and weapons of war. With you, these are the words of Yahweh, with you, Jacob, Israel, white Aryan Caucasian Israelites. With you I will break the nations, this is the word goy or goyim, meaning the non-Hebrew peoples, I will break the nations into pieces. With you I will destroy kingdoms. With you I will break in pieces the horse and his rider. What would that be in modern terms? The guys in the helicopters?
Right.
The guys driving the drones and killing people? The guys in the tanks and the Humvees and other armored personnel carriers and their drivers? And on and on and on. With you I will break in pieces the chariot and him who rides therein. Same thing. Chariots were weapons or devices for warriors to go into battle most of the time. And they usually gave them an upper edge over the people who were not organized into armies. With you I will break in pieces man and woman. So he's no respecter of gender. With you I will break in pieces the old man and the youth, no respecter of age. With you I will break in pieces the young man and the maiden. Again, no respecter of marital status, virgin, non-virgin, male or female. With you I will break in pieces the shepherd and his flock. Could be the false preachers, couldn't it? With you I will break in pieces the farmer and his yoke. With you I will break in pieces governors and deputies, government officials. Jeremiah 51. So hallelujah. So right there again, out of the new and the old, a time for peace, a time for war, a time to love, and a time to hate. We've reached that point, folks. Why there isn't an uprising and righteous indignation running at about 1,000%, I have no idea. Other than the strong delusion that's put upon people because they no longer love the truth. It's sad. It's sad. The truth is so plain to see out there. It's just, it's mind-numbing. How lame, lazy, silly, and compliant people have become in these days, in these latter days. I mean, I've read those scriptures since I was a boy, and I always tried to imagine, how could people ever be like that? And yet, as I've grown older, I've watched my society and my race become exactly that. In fact, it's astonishing how materialistic the white race is today. Again, we've talked about this for going on 22 years now on this show and many others. The fact that our people would literally sell out their own mothers for a dollar, for money. They really would. They'd sell out their own family members, even their own mothers. I've met lots of people like that. Just go to a reading of a will sometime when somebody in the family dies and they have any kind of an estate. Go watch what families do to each other as they scramble for the money. I know my grandfather was a dairy farmer, and he had a rather large dairy farm in Pennsylvania. And when he passed, he had 8 children and many, many grandchildren. And when it came time to divide things up, the family split completely in half. Half who were completely pissed off, and the other half thought it was fair. My one uncle ended up with the lion's share of the farm. We believe that's the reason my other uncle, who spent his entire life on the farm, even when he got to be older, he never left the farm. He worked the farm with my grandfather. He was left pretty much out of the will. And the uncle that left the farm, he got the lion's share of it, and that caused the younger uncle to eventually kill himself. He committed suicide. One of the few members of my family ever to do that. So again, as you watch people and what money does to them, it's sickening. That's why I took the step many years ago to tell my children and the family, I'm leaving you nothing. My plan is that when my time comes, I'm going to buy my last glass of beer at the American Legion, and when I finish that beer, I'll fall off my stool dead. That'll be my last buck and a half. Okay? That would be my objective. And that way there's no fighting. Okay? There might be a few material things, maybe my books and my computers, and if anybody wants them. Most of these young people don't even care about what us old-timers have anymore. Even if you do leave it to them, they're just going to sell it or trash it or whatever. They don't care. Okay? I've got an extensive library, and I can pretty much imagine it'll go right into a dumpster somewhere. But I'll be gone, so it won't matter to me. But I'm not going to leave a big pile of money to have a bunch of people fight over it like cats and dogs. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. Or have a bunch of government agents come in, and like they did my father, and steal 50% of the inheritance of our family. You know, the government is and taxation is theft. How many times you've heard that and people just laugh? But when you get old enough and you've actually seen them do it, like I said, my father and mother worked their whole life. They weren't rich by any stretch. And my father was very, very diligent about trying to leave something for his children and grandchildren. And they came in because of a technical glitch and stole 50% of the family's inheritance, which came out to $800,000, went to the government. The government that already can create as much as it wants to do whatever it wants at the touch of a button, they stole from my family and my mom and dad $800,000 over a technicality. And you wonder why people call the government a beast? Taxation is theft. They don't need it. My sister paid into Social Security her entire life. When she passed away a couple years ago, not a dime of it was ever collected, and not a dime of it ever went to a member of our family. And yet she paid into that her entire life. And now they're calling it entitlement. Yeah, it's an entitlement to these bastards coming across our border. It's my money. It was her money. It's every other member of my family that's worked our whole lives money. It's not a frickin' entitlement. These sons of bitches in government have to go. I'm sorry. You're never going to get your freedom back. You're never going to have peace on this earth until we rein in these sons of bitches in government. They are not our friends. None of them are. I don't give a shit who it is. If it's government, it's bad. It needs to be corralled, collared, and reduced in size and power tremendously, exactly as the Founding Fathers said. If you don't fix that problem, then you have consigned your loved ones to basically economic bondage for the rest of their life. And they'll curse you. They'll curse you eventually. John, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Commander Pastor Dan. May Yahweh bless you and all here tonight listening.
Thank you, John.
I have... There's somebody that told me not too many weeks ago that a lot of these people, I guess nurses or licensed practical nurses, giving these COVID shots across the country in these lines, supposedly a lot of them are getting six numerical figures. I don't know if that's true or not, but whether they are or not, I'd like to go after them and arrest them because they are injecting people with a murderous vaccine that people will die one day. So they're guilty as well. They're guilty as well.
Well, we don't know the amount because in every state it seems to be different, but we do know that the medical establishments like hospitals, etc., and clinics, they are getting financial kickbacks for promoting the whole COVID bullshit and the use of the serum, etc. All these celebrities, people like Dr. Axe and the rest of these hypocritical liars, they all get a some sort of a financial perk, or they're threatened. But again, it all comes back to money. When they're threatened that they'll lose a license, or they'll lose business, or they'll lose advertising. That all equates to money. So because of the threat of money being taken from them, they acquiesce and they lie to us and they become part of the problem.
If I ever could, I would like to put the handcuffs on Dr. Fauci, sit him on the, a court seat, try him for 3 or 4 days, a speedy trial, and then have a public execution on that bastard asshole, whatever he is. I don't care. I don't care if he's Roman Catholic or Jew or whatever the hell he is. I want to
he's
see him.
Jew. He's racially a Jew. He doesn't have any faith. I mean, he's an Antichrist. So, but racially, he's a Jew. Just take a look at him.
Well, I ran across something that claims that Mother Teresa, who's dead now, supposedly is his actual mother. I don't know if that's true or not, but I looked at the pictures, and there seemed to be some resemblance, but maybe it's not true. And maybe it is, but that doesn't matter. Another thing, I find it a little bit more easier now, depending on where I go, where I'm not wearing a mask. I just say, I have the asthma. I have asthma. I'm asthmatic. I can't wear it, blah, blah, blah. And I find some places lenient, and I can go through. But with this shedding of whatever's coming out of people that have been vaccinated through their mouth or their nose, I really have not been going out, shopping around, basically, because I generally, the only place I'll go is the grocery store, perhaps the post office when I need to. But I've come to the point where the best time to do that, maybe between now and 10 o'clock at night, or whoever's open that, well, not the post office, but grocery stores, they would generally be open until 9 or 10, where I can say, hey, I'm asthmatic and I can keep going. There's not going to be many people in there, especially in the early morning hours as well. So that's one way to handle it. Yeah. I've spoken to you a few times about what I'm reading and how many people in this country have been vaccinated. But now I am convinced. I really don't think it's really more than 100 million. Maybe it could be 75 million. And for those of us like me, you, and everyone else here that have not been vaccinated and will not, I think the government and the CDC are going to find ways to coerce people. When there's plenty of information out there now, so that's why I'm convinced that a lot of, I'd say about 80% of whites don't want this vaccine. That's what I think. So what can you tell me, Commander Dan?
Well, I know they're lying to us about everything, so I don't believe that many people have actually gone out for it. I believe the numbers of people that are refusing it is much higher than what they're admitting to. But I look at this as the Father sending a strong message to come out of Babylon. We've been talking about this for a long time, and our people are so addicted to comforts that they just don't want to get out of Babylon. They're just like our ancestors when they were told to get out of Egypt. How many of them piss and moaned? Well, wait a minute. Egypt wasn't that bad. We ate good. We lived in comfortable houses, blah, blah, blah. And a whole group of them wanted to kill Aaron and Moses and go back. And yeah, we're no different today. We got a whole bunch of people that it's bondage and the satanic Jews running everything. But, you know, it's really not all that bad. I can still watch my Netflix and drink my beer and eat my popcorn and gain 50 pounds eating all the shit food that they produce. So it can't be all that bad, is it? So maybe this is his way of saying, I'm going to make it so ugly This is so in your face that maybe my people will finally come out of this Babylonian system and learn how to live together and create something new and better and walk away from this satanic bullshit. You can't fix it. Washington, D.C. is beyond broke. Most of the state governments are beyond broke. Okay? These communists, you're never going to get them to behave themselves. And most of these criminals in corporate America, mainstream churches, and everything else, they're not going to repent. So why don't the righteous do what the Father told us to do from the beginning? Let's figure out a way of doing it and get the hell out of here and go create our own new lands. Our ancestors did it. We don't have to have their permission.
The only thing that's left right now is, if at all possible, I'm looking at secession amongst the several states, especially in the South. Maybe that's one way that it can be handled. I don't know what else to say, Commander Dan, but...
Well, there's two good states that are starting to get it right, and that's Texas and Florida. Okay? And again, I'm not saying the state governments are good guys, because most state and the federal government is bad. All of it's bad. Every governor is corrupt in one way or the other. They're not going to lead us back to living in a theocracy like we need. But at least in Texas and Florida, most of the people that live here have said no, and they're basically ignoring these idiots like we should have done right from the beginning. So those are two big states, high population, large number of acres of land. They're both quite capable of living completely isolated from the rest of the 50 states, and having their own banking, their own commerce, everything. They'd have their own standing army. There's plenty of armed men in both states. They could have a small army if needed. They got manufacturing. They got shipping. They got access to the oceans. So those two states would be great places to see it start, to basically secede and just tell Washington to go jump off a cliff. We don't need them. Washington, yeah. D.C. is a cancer. Everything coming out of Washington is a cancer to a free, open, peaceful, prosperous society. They are a cancer. And we need to just walk away from them. Stop supporting them. Don't send them any more money. Don't send any more of our boys and girls into their military. Don't support them in any way, shape, or form until they're gone, until they just dry up like a slug and they're gone.
Yes, I agree. Commander Dan, it was great to speak with you, and may you have a great day, and Yahweh bless you, and Yahweh bless all of you listening to this broadcast. Have a great day and a good night.
Yep, thanks, John. Take care. Yahweh bless.
Yes, sir.
All right, very good. And if anybody else has anything they want to share, please feel free at this time to go ahead and call in. I'm just touching up my notes here. Here we go. All right. So, if you think about it, as Angel had sent into us here the last program, there are scriptures that support the fact that everything that goes on is under our Father's watchful eye. Everything going on, okay, folks? Everything. Okay, so when these evil things are happening, just remember, Belshazzar in Scripture and other non-Hebrew individuals were used, as Pharaoh was as well, were used by Father to basically shake up his people. And again, his people are you and I, not Jews. Jews are not his people. They are antichrists from the get-go. So he can use all of these characters, these bad actors, are basically to get us to get our act together, if you think about it. So it's just like we talked about the scriptures that says that he will refine us like the silversmith refines silver. And we talked about that process. and the fact that, you know, how does the silversmith, meaning Yahweh, how does he know when his people are properly cleaned in the fire? The fires of what? Persecution, judgment, affliction, you know. How does he know? When he sees his reflection in the silver, meaning in you, in your life, when he sees that. And the problem is, especially here in America, but virtually every other white nation on this earth, the people do not reflect him at all anymore, almost not at all. Okay, our societies reflect just the opposite. They reflect the Antichrist. Everything that we see in our society does not show any respect for him and his law at all, at all. And so the persecution continues. The insanity continues. And again, I don't know, what's it going to take to wake people up, especially the men? You know, the ladies, you're important, but you're not the warriors, okay? I'm sorry, but you're not. At least you're not supposed to be. That's the man's job. And shame on the women that have aided and abetted the feminist movement to try to denut or castrate the white man. Shame on you if you took part in that. You should be very ashamed of yourself. You're part of the problem in the fact that you've helped to basically, as the Bible calls it, dehorn, which is basically a way of saying castrating, our men. Sometimes literally, but most of the time it's figurative. Okay, you've assisted in the castrating of the men to where now there aren't a whole lot of men left. That's part of the problem. Men willing to stand, fight, and die if necessary. Not too many left. You helped create that, ladies, when you thought it was all great to get the women empowered and the feminist movement and all the things that the lying Nakash serpent Jew was telling you in the media, and what a great thing it was and how oppressive it was under the old white men running the show. Well, take a look around you at what you've created. Your boys don't even know what sex they are. They're being talked into transgenderism. They're being stolen off the streets and sold into slavery, or their body parts are being cut up and sold. All kind of horrendous things going on. Why? Why did you do it? What was so wrong before? Why did Satan's kids have such an easy time coming in here and getting us to go along with this nonsense? Because we stopped loving the truth. We'd rather have a comfortable lie than a hard truth. Or as Taylor Caldwell says, mankind worships its traitors and murders its saviors. Worships their traitors and murders their saviors. She was very correct. And that's where we're at. Everything is upside down, as it says in the scriptures. Good would be called evil, evil would be called good. It's basically saying everything is upside down. And literally everything in society is upside down. Now the good news is a remnant of his people are crying out to the Father, repenting, and want his law to be the law of the land again. There is a remnant starting to do that. Hallelujah for that. Hallelujah for that. It's a tiny remnant, but it's a start. It's a seed that can grow. And as people begin to come to the realization of just how wicked and evil this world has become, that seed is going to grow and grow and grow. And Father's going to allow it to grow. The New World Order, they can huff and they can puff all they want, but they're not going to stop Yahweh's plan from coming to pass. They're not. They can't. Okay? Again, our Father's in control or he's not. Which is it? You can't have it both ways. So I'm in the camp that my Father is in control. That's why I say, even in the midst of all this turmoil, he's allowed me to successfully live a life without having to put a diaper on my face one time. Not one time. And yeah, there were a few times I got yelled at and tried to get shamed into doing it, but I just ignored them and walked past them. So, again, I don't go out much. I will say that. Well, I don't want to be around them, though. See, it's not because I feel forced to do it. It's because I just simply don't want to be around them. I don't want to be around people that do stupid-ass things. I don't like being around drunks or drug addicts either. I think that is dumb as hell. I don't like to be around people with sexually transmitted diseases. That's common sense. I don't want to be around them. And I don't want to be around criminals of other types. And I don't want to be around people that get vaccinated with an experimental drug that's going to do Lord knows what to them. And they are quite capable of infecting people like you and me from everything I'm reading. So, again, I don't want to be around them. I don't want to eat the food that they prepare. I don't want to sit in the buildings with them. I don't want to converse with them. I don't want to fellowship with them. I don't want to be around them. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm comfortable in my own tent, as you will, as Jacob would call it, wherever Yahweh plants me and doing Yahweh's work. And if people want the truth, then our job is to give them the truth. So I can be a truth seeker sitting right here and not going out there with those walking dead zombies. I feel sorry for the people that feel they're forced to do it, either because of a job or whatever. That makes it very difficult. I understand that. I would pray that the Father would open up doors for you, like he has some people I know, where they're able to work from home. I have quite a few of the people listening to the show and people I've known for years have contacted me recently, and all of a sudden they're able to find work, and they're working from home, so they don't have to go out there. That's a beautiful thing. At least at this point in time, things could change. All kinds of things could happen, but the point of it is, right now, if you look, you might be surprised what's available. I know my son just gave up a six-figure-a-year job because the company wanted him to deliver vaccines. He didn't want to do it, and they were pushing him to put a diaper on his face, which he did not do for over a year, even though every day they tried to shame him into it. And for a year, he was able to basically ignore them. But the threats have become more often and more severe, to where he felt his actual safety, his health and safety were in jeopardy, and so he quit. Rather than acquiesce, he quit. Praise Yahweh for him doing that. You see, if we had real lions and lion-like people, as our ancestors, a lot of them were, they wouldn't get away with this stuff. But we've become quite soft, apathetic, compliant little sheep instead of lions. We're like little sheep, and we're sitting around thinking somebody else is going to do all the hard work for us. Well, let me know how that works out for you. But all I know is, when you stand in front of the Father, you will give an accounting all by yourself. You're not going to be able to blame anybody else. Nobody else. Not a husband, not a wife, not parents, not grandparents, not society, not even the Jews. Nope. Nope, it's not going to happen. Because he gave each and every one of us discernment, a brain, and the ability, if we wanted to see through this stuff. Now, I know a lot of people don't like hearing it, but sometimes that's the case, is our people just didn't want to see the truth. Okay? It's sad, but that's what happens sometimes. Okay? If the scripture says they wanted their ears tickled, in other words, they wanted to hear lies, deception, because that was easier. Okay? And it's really sad. It's really sad. Now, again, I'm going to recommend folks this little book. I picked up a copy here a couple months ago. I've heard of this book before, but I'd never read it. Excuse me. But The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates, A Proper Resistance to Tyranny and a Repudiation of Unlimited Obedience to Civil Government by Matthew, I don't know how to pronounce this, Trewella, Trewella. I'm not sure which language that is, so I'm not sure how you pronounce that. But let me, this is a short chapter. I'm going to just read a little bit out of this chapter 4. The duty of lesser magistrates. Now, who are the lesser magistrates? Anybody below the level of the tyrant. Okay, so if Governor DeSantis is issuing an order, it would be your state representatives and your county commissioners and your local mayor, even down to the precinct level. Okay, they are the lesser magistrates. Now, if they won't stand in the way to prevent error, then it becomes the local militia and the man of the house. You're all magistrates. And this chapter 4 talks about duty, and we've always talked about that quote by General Douglas MacArthur. It's an excellent quote about duty. And General Stonewall Jackson from the American War of Between the States. Duty is ours. Consequences belong to Yahweh God. But I'm going to read this real quick. It's just a short little chapter, just to give you a little taste or a teaser for this book, The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. Duty is a word not often mentioned in our nation today. Expediency prevails. The path of least resistance is the path that most follow in our day, whether in private or public life. Commitment is a virtue long lost on Americans. Just consider the divorce rate if you doubt this. Duty is that which a person owes to another, or by which a person is bound to another by any natural, moral, or lawful obligation to perform. Duty is any action required by one's position or by moral or lawful considerations. A magistrate is a person clothed with power as a public civil officer, whether executive, legislative, or judicial. That's out of Black's Law Dictionary. As the title implies, a lesser magistrate is one who possesses less power than a higher magistrate. For example, a county executive possesses less authority than a state governor. The position of the lesser magistrate can be obtained by election or by appointment. The primary duty of the lesser magistrates regarding the doctrine of the lesser magistrate is threefold. First, they are to oppose and resist any laws or edicts from the higher authority that contravene the law or word of God. Second, they are to protect the person, liberty, and property of those who reside within their jurisdiction from any unjust or immoral laws or actions by the higher authority. I hope police officers are listening and military people. Third, they are not to implement any laws or decrees made by the higher authority that violate the Constitution and, if necessary, resist them. They cannot hide behind the excuse, "I'm just doing my job," or "I'm just following the law of the land," as an attempt to escape their duty. The duty of the lesser magistrate is to uphold that which is right in the sight of God and to protect the people where his local authority or function resides. This is a sacred duty. We define it as sacred because it is founded in Scripture and proceeds from Yahweh God. When we speak of lesser magistrates, we are usually talking about a more local authority. Whatever the local authority may be, its jurisdiction is smaller than the higher authority that legislate an unjust or immoral decree. whether a governor or state legislature standing in defiance of the president or Congress or the Supreme Court, or whether a mayor or city council standing in defiance of the governor or Congress or state legislature. The authority of the lesser magistrate is more local than the higher magistrate. Lesser magistrates are not to just unquestioningly do the bidding of the higher authority. State governments, for example, were never intended to be mere conduits or implementation centers for federal government regulation, law, and policy, as they have become today. Herbert Schlossberg speaks to this point in his magnum opus, Idols for Destruction. He says regarding the lesser magistrates, the framers of the American Constitution were conscious of the excesses to which centralized political systems were prone, and their solution was to devise multiple levels of authority. The existence of states, cities, counties, townships, and independent taxing authorities, which, to apologists for the state, has been a messy derogation from beneficent centralized power, has saved us from some of the assaults on freedom that others have suffered. And again, that's out of his book, Idols for Destruction. Schlossberg points out, however, that in our day, these, quote, intermediate institutions, which formerly served to check the central power, have largely atrophied, he later concludes. After three quarters of a century, the new nationalism has borne bitter fruit. People who have despised the right of localities to govern themselves have delivered them into the hands of federal masters. Local politicians have acquiesced in the mugging of the provinces because in return for giving up political authority, they have received monetary benefits. In other words, they've taken a bribe. They've taken a bribe. In other words, with the shekels come the shackles. And today, it's even electronic shekels, not even real money. The federal master has brought the lesser magistrates off. They've bought them off so they more readily do its bidding rather than the people's. The lesser authorities become mere implementation centers of federal policy. And again, that's all in Chapter 4. Again, you can get that book. I think it's from Amazon. You might even find a PDF copy of it. The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. So, again, people are starting to talk about these things. That's a good thing. Once people start talking about it, then actions can come. And we're starting to see some preachers, some of the congregation are starting to step up the plate. I know Coach Davamir and his group have become very proactive. Many of the naturopathic doctors are starting to hook up together with other doctors for truth and freedom. So again, the power is in the people's hands. The Antichrist cannot win this thing if we fight in the name of Yahweh and to establish true law, his law, and give up on this whole nonsense of man's law. Man's law is corrupt, always has been corrupt. We were fools to believe that it was anything other than that. But again, we've been led astray by our, quote, pastors. Our shepherds have become deaf and dumb dogs. They also have taken a bribe. And I pray for the day when Scripture says that their own parents will help to hunt them down. Hunt them down for judgment. The Jimmy Swaggarts, the Oral Roberts, Robert Schuller's, what's the other one? Joe Olstein, John Hagee, all the rest of these profligate liars. Liars. There's that one out in Texas, too. Never can remember his name. Kenneth Copeland, that's it. Another profligate, lying sack of shit. Just telling it like it is. Sorry, folks. But they have led many astray, just like all these people going along with this whole pandemic nonsense, this COVID-iacy, I call it. They've gotten people hurt. They've caused businesses. The middle class has almost been wiped out here in America and in other white nations. Notice how it's all against the white nations, by the way. So the articles that are coming out now talking about that issue, meaning the racial hatred of the white race by all these other peoples, especially the Jew, that's becoming spoken outwardly as well. So again, I'm going to go ahead and, let me check the queue one more time here. And nope, nobody's got anything. So we'll call it a shorty tonight. A lot of the church I used to attend have bought into the Copeland prosperity gospel. That's what Ralph says. Yeah, they have. It's same thing with that piece of crap, Joel Osteen. Again, you just take one look at him. He's like a Anthony Fauci to me. You just look at him, and I wouldn't even buy a car from that guy. Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We just pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray that you would wake up your remnant, and we pray for your coming. You're the only one worthy to sit on the throne. No man is. Man-made law is just a total joke. Man governing over man is a total joke. We turned our backs on you. Our ancestors did a long time ago, and we've been paying the price ever since. We today that see that, we do repent of what they did and what we've done in our lifetimes. And we just want you to come back and sit upon the throne. Rule over us, guide us, punish us when we need it, and bless us when we do good, just like a real father would do. Again, we ask for forgiveness for our sins, clear discernment, a stiff backbone, and courage to do right, even if it's against overwhelming odds. And we just pray for, again, your coming. And always we ask that you would protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's precious name, hallelujah.